Good morning and welcome to Smashy Business. I'm Lubna Hamdan.
And I'm Richard Fitzgerald.
And I'm going to try and smile more because apparently some people think... No, I'm kidding. I'm not going to be smiling more because we were just talking about embracing ourselves, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think some, you know, we talk about... There's so many people. It's such a kind of... you know, it's Slack, right? Basically, with content. Content's so subjective, like mm-hmm. in social media. And someone said last week... Hey, Lubna, when you do the story, smile a bit. And I'm like, no, don't be yourself. Like, if you don't feel like smiling, don't smile.
But
like,
exactly.
I think you did a bit in the story you just put up on Smashy Business before the show. So, yeah.
I mean, that's what differentiates me, guys. So, yeah.
Yeah. Amongst many things. Yeah.
Amongst many things. Thank you. I don't know if that's like, it sounded like a compliment, but also not really. So, I don't know. I'm hoping it was a little bit. But how was your weekend? How was your weekend, Richard? What did you do before we get into the headlines?
It was good. I was in here yesterday. We have Qatar, Egypt, and Saudi all working. Mm. Egypt has had a lot of holidays, a lot of breaks for Eid, for Easter.
Yeah.
And the MD told me that they don't have another break now until the 15th of June. I'm like, yes, let's get some momentum.
Yeah, exactly.
So we were just catching up and stuff like that. It's getting hot. I went to the Martin Garrix concerts.
We had
a little bit of content there. It was nice to see something in Atlantis. I don't normally go to these things, but it was just good to see operationally how it worked and all that sort of stuff. We were a media partner for...
Was that a nighttime event?
It was a nighttime event, and it did. I didn't
Coffee,
swim.
Nighttime events, yeah. And you missed a swim. What's going on?
Yeah. Well, yeah. No, I mean, yeah. Okay. I don't know.
It's good. It's good.
Yeah,
it's,
I did miss a swim. That's disappointing, but it's okay.
Yeah, yeah.
It can't be. It can't do everything all the time. But no. So we were also media partner for Coca-Cola Arena, which we often are, and there was another concert there.
Mm.
So yeah, like that type of weekend. How was yours?
Have you always been active? Because I would actually like to. Balance out my life a little bit and become a little bit more active. So maybe I'll go for a swim or something.
I don't know.
Maybe like a boxing class or something.
To
let out some emotions.
Yeah.
No, but my weekend was good. There's one thing that I just could not stop thinking about, which is the perfume that you made me smell. Unfortunately. Shall we talk about that before we get into it?
Yeah, so
the
I'm holding
stuff.
Up one of these limited edition sold out burnt hair perfumes, right?
Sold out, yeah?
Sold out, yeah. There was mm-hmm. 300...
Emphasis under sold out.
Yeah, as in, why, you mean because you opened it?
Yeah.
No. Well, so basically, look, it's burnt hair. It's called singled or signed, right? And, okay, what's the background to this? Elon Musk has many projects. One called X, one called Tesla, one called SpaceX or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Twitter and as well. And he also has another project, another company called The Boring Company. The Boring Company actually has a real purpose. It's building tunnels underground because mm-hmm. Elon Musk lives in California and they've got traffic problem.
Yeah.
And he thinks, why are we building above ground? Why don't we do tunnels? And,
yeah.
he believes in tunnels, just like he believes in batteries and stuff like that. And just like he believes in open things. So he open internet. So he has, what do they call that? What's the satellite thing he has to provide internet on the ground?
Yes.
You know the thing I'm talking about.
Yes.
Yeah. So he basically takes on big problems. Mm. And one of the things is tunnels. So the Boring Company is tunnels. Like that's actually what it's trying to do, even though it's a mm-hmm. funny name.
Starlink,
that's the one.
Starlink.
But Elon Musk has a unique personality. Mm. And randomly under the Boring Company, I don't know what triggered it, but at one point he launched an item called a flamethrower, which sounds to me like something dangerous.
Yeah.
And lots of people bought it.
Yeah.
And then in about November 24 or October, around that time, so nearly 2 years ago, he put a tweet up that he's selling burnt hair perfume. So hair burnt is like smells of anything burnt, which is horrible. And he put it up, and I get the exact number, but it feels like 30,000 of these. And they were about 500 dirham or so, so 100 and something dollars, right? And they all sold out. And it was like ships in Q1 23. In May 24, we get our burnt hair, right? And I was kind of like, okay, cool. And for some reason, I didn't smell it, obviously, as you would. I walked around the office. I didn't check the eBay resale value. I didn't know that I know now that the unopened versions are going for $1,200, if not more. And Lubna, quite nonchalantly, kind of looked at it and just went like this. Ooh. Ah! I just opened it. But like, your point.
Oh, my days.
So it has arrived in Dubai. Here it is. And it's disgusting, even if you smell
it. Oh, my days. I'm not going to smell this again. I urge you, if you have bought this, I'm going to keep it away from me. Listen, Richard, like, I always straighten my hair, curl my hair. I know what burnt hair smells like. This smells so much worse than burnt hair. It smells horrendous. You know, I was driving after you made me smell this perfume. I sprayed it, I think, on my wrist or something. I went to wash it in the bathroom several times. I was driving. My really? Car smelt of it.
It's that bad.
I was nauseous.
Oh, wow.
Elon Musk, thanks.
But look, like, I didn't make you. Like, you opened it. Like, you ruined the value.
Of course I opened it. It's me. It's, you know, it's like if there's a
curious.
Red button, I'm going to press it.
So, yeah, that's funny. So, Elon Musk, he achieved his desire of the burnt hair thingy.
Oh, gosh.
That's funny. You actually needed to get the smell off you.
I'm getting trauma just looking at it. I'm like imagining the smell coming back to me. But it's just insane that he launched a perfume called Burnt Hair. Everyone bought it. It's sold out. It smells so bad. And now the resale value has what is the resale value?
It's something, I think, like 10, 12 times.
I mean, isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it is. But it's also interesting. It's internet meme culture, one level. Yeah. It also goes to show that, like, maybe sometimes companies can be more creative. Like, he's obviously going to take those funds
and
put them towards
building
tunnels.
Yeah, but he put this out as a joke, right? Obviously, because it smells really bad.
He did, right? He did, but also he needs funds. Yeah. You know, when we joked, I think, on this show a while ago, when Donald Trump launched Gold High Tops, Make America Great Again,
yes.
or whatever,
yes.
and he needs funds, and like they sell out, and like there is the meme stock thing, there is the getting free PR, but like there's cash there.
True.
If you're an influencer, if you're anything, and you want to raise a lot of money, mm-hmm. it's like limited edition drops, which all the kids, all these Gen Z people are into at the moment.
I mean, I would argue that at least those are, you know, stylish. Nice to wear.
Okay, fair.
But I mean, I don't know. I just imagine Elon Musk, you know, looking at or someone showing him the numbers or telling him that it's sold out, him looking at the resale value and just laughing and saying, God, people will buy anything. And I understand, for example, why you would buy it, why some other people would buy it, because you like to, you know, you're curious about it. You know about the resale value. Okay, fine. I opened it. I apologize. Costing a couple of, you know.
It wasn't an investment. It was literally like,
I mean, it could have been, but not anymore.
It's probably half because it's open, but it's still got more value. It's still an,
you know what you
asset.
Should do? You should give it to someone you really don't like.
Yeah.
You should gift this to someone you really don't like.
I like everyone.
wink, wink, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. let's get away from the burnt hair and onto some of the news. I'm just going to put this down so my trauma doesn't doesn't get triggered.
Okay.
Bottom, this is a really exciting one because I met Abdullah Abu Sheikh, the founder of AstraTech, which bought Bottom. I don't know if you use Bottom. Do you?
I don't actually.
Okay, so it's
basically,
I know
it's very popular.
Yeah, so you can have video call, free video calls, voice calls. Abdullah Abu Sheikh wants to turn this into the everything super app, basically.
They actually call it ultra app. They don't like the word super app. They corrected
right.
us on that. But whatever
yes.
the difference is, I have no idea. Yeah.
You're right. I don't know what the difference is either. But they have just launched Palm Pay, where you can just swipe your palm and pay for anything instead of Apple Pay or swiping your card or your phone. So it's pretty cool. They're So he did mention this. We met him in Qatar during the Qatar Web Summit, and he did mention that they have a lot of interesting things coming up. But I just wonder about this because he said they're going to be working with banks soon. It's not clear. Oh, and he also said it's going to be available through the Bottom app and other apps. But it's not exactly clear.
How it works.
Is it ready to go? How exactly does it work? So he said it works like face recognition, authentication, etc. He also said it's safer than bank cards and payment ways like Apple Pay.
Mm.
But is it?
I'm not sure.
Is it? Because imagine you're just walking around and, I don't know.
Your hands.
Can't someone just, I don't know, because, you know, people do this, that there are these machines that when you're walking, they just, I mean, they do this in Russia a lot. if your card is in your bag and someone walks by you with this machine, they can take all the info from your card and they can take money.
Yeah. Look, there's definitely going to be, like, financial sector is the most overly regulated, and rightly so, and compliance is really high.
Yeah.
But then you need innovation in some ways. I remember when the tap to pay thing started in London 10, 15 years ago, not that it started there, but I remember experiencing it the first time there. Mm. And there's a lot of, like, is this safe? You know, like, there's no more putting a pin in. It's just tapping. Yeah. Anyone can tap.
Yeah.
Stuff like
absolutely.
That. But it sped things up. And I think, you know, obviously the Ultra app part, and it started with communication and video calling and, you know,
there remittances as well, and booking anything through that app, basically.
Exactly,
like cleaners, everything. That's what he wanted to turn into.
Yeah, and I think even Elon Musk X, I think the fintech part of everything app and Ultra app and Super app is super important. Kareem are getting into the fintech app as well. Mm. So there's utility, which utility can be delivery, but also can be paying bills. So you need a payment element.
Yeah.
And there's communication, which can be DMing, but it can also be VoIP and video calling.
Yeah.
So yeah, in terms of the innovation and the safety, like, you know, you would hope that it's safe, obviously. But it is good to see these innovators. You know, we were having a conversation in the pantry in the office last week, and we were talking about fintech companies, and that, you know, Tabby are doing so well, and the buy now, pay later in this region is the only region in the world where they're actually profitable. Like, the ones that emerged first in Australia and Scandinavia, Klarna and others, didn't become as profitable as they did here. And people in the office explained why Tabby was and how they're hooked on it, and it's this and this and this, and all sorts of stuff. Because it came up, we were actually at the, I should give a shout out, we were at the Dubai Women's Business Council event under Dubai Chambers last week, called Empowering Women Entrepreneurs. And it was an incredible morning. Lubna, I think a guy called Ronnie, who set up Founder Connects, which is a new platform for founders to connect, obviously, as the name suggests.
Yeah.
But he helped this Women's Business Council that's been going since 2002. And they put out an invite. There was three people on the panel. I was fortunate enough to be on the panel. And 269 people RSVP'd. They closed the registration. 120 women came in the morning. And one of the people on the panel was Amal Almari, who's the founder of the local catering company, independent food company, I think that's the name of it. And they have Fine Salt and Salt and others, including Somewhere. And the other guy on the panel was Talal from
Bezat.
Yeah. Mm. So we were discussing why trends do well here and why don't, while some don't.
Yeah.
Like, we discussed why the 15-minute delivery thing that was around for a while, or the cloud kitchen thing, didn't succeed.
Yeah.
And it didn't. We can go into that in another time. But a lot of money was powered in there that didn't come out.
Mm-hmm.
But the buy now, pay later thing has worked in this region for some reason.
You know what? We had Turkiya, the founder of Ovasave, which basically she created a kit to help you know, women test their fertility levels at home. It also helps them with egg freezing. How? Not only does it help them with education and connecting them to the right clinics and doctors, but they offer payment plans for freezing your eggs, which is incredible, incredible. Because a lot of friends of mine wanted to do it, but it was too
expensive. Yeah.
Payment plans for freezing, like, it's just, but what's even more interesting is that I asked her if she had any issues raising money, and she said, no, actually, the investors themselves were coming to us. And Erica from Drink Dry said the same thing. She said, I had no issue at all raising funds. So the investors are now
understanding
the value and the needs and the gap in the market. I mean,
that's,
I would say, taking advantage, but still.
But you know, so let's see, like, you know, let's see what happens with both of them. I know they've got a lot of engineers down in Abu Dhabi. I know they're doing a lot of work there. So not sure about how safe the palm thing. Sometimes companies like this come out with, we're just talking about Elon Musk, but sometimes companies come out with things that are more PR-y than the real utility, but definitely that Ultra app aspect includes fintech, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely. Something interesting happened again on Instagram regarding the boycotts for Gaza. A lot of people thought the Met Gala was very tone deaf. One particular TikTok went viral and really, really, made people very angry. It was Hailey Khalil or Khalil, an influencer. She put up a video of her dressed up as Marie Antoinette and was whispering, not whispering, but lip syncing, "Let them eat cake." And obviously, at the same time, with everything going on in Gaza, there is a genocide. You know, everyone is talking about Rafah right now.
All eyes on Rafah, yeah.
So people got very, very angry and upset with that. And they started blocking all celebrities, including some and influencers, including some in the UAE, blocking them on Instagram so that they don't get ad revenue. So that's what people are talking about right now.
Yeah, I think when, you know, at the start of the genocide, we were seeing, you know, there was initial international boycott of big brands, and then we talked about some local F&B, and now we're seeing celebs and influencers. Like, there's been a bit of it, but we're seeing it increase. But, you know, Lubna, on this sort of, because I saw those videos of the Met Gala, and I was kind of like, cool, but like, I think it's a wider, I think it's a bigger issue than Met Gala. I think it's like, when I see some of the content, and so I think the world has a tone deaf issue,
exactly,
not just the people at the Met Gala, right? Like, because we can delve into it, like, should we get on with our lives and should we not, and what's, you know, should we be talking here now or should we be doing something else, you know?
Sure.
So but just on the tone deafness of the internet, like, at the start you see these various opinions and you can get sucked into it, and you can, like, America has this bipartisan thing, you know, red and blue, and everyone goes at each other, right?
Yeah.
And but like, and then they try and do this on this, stand with X or stand with X, like, which side are you on? And they try and make it like a bipartisan thing. And that's America's narrative. But, you know, on a human level, there should be stop doing this. Stop getting us sucked into what you do, which is left and right, you know?
Yeah,
so I just think, like, I just think, like, by saying, like, let's boycott or whatever, like, it almost shouldn't. We have to say it because it's obvious, but it almost shouldn't be. It shouldn't be like we have to tell people what's right or wrong.
Exactly.
Like, we shouldn't,
like,
have to.
I mean, how much more do you need to see for you to know what is right and what is wrong? And I think that's why people are getting pissed off, because they, you know, they're seeing that, you know, this is not right. We, you know, we have backed you. You are celebrities because of your fans. People are saying, we gave you this platform and now we're going to take it away from you. We gave you power, sorry, and influence on this platform, and now we're going to take away your influence, which I think fair enough.
Yeah, like, we've often talked about this over the last 7 months, and it's like, why are people being silent? Is it because it's affecting their commercial viability? You know, people do have businesses, but then, as we often talk about as well, we need leaders and we need people to drive industries forward. And, you know, again, if people are being boycotted, potentially they're losing potential revenue. We saw last week that I get these names mixed up, but one of the Hadids launched a fragrance, and the commentary was, she launched the fragrance because she was losing so much modeling in business, you know, so she needed to launch her own brand.
Right.
And I think you covered her dad's projects as well on the show.
His company filed for bankruptcy as well, and one of his other daughters, his eldest one, Alana, I think her name is, if I'm not mistaken, but she launched a film production company as well, and she's getting a lot of support for that. So
okay, good, yeah.
But I do understand, people do have businesses to run, but, you know, it's kind of like what we were talking about in the tech space, when all those people were coming out and talking about Palestine and getting canceled for it. And then people started getting canceled for not talking about Palestine, you know? So if everyone collectively kind of did the right thing, people wouldn't have to worry about their businesses, or at least do something. You don't have to go all out, at least do one thing. But anyways, moving on to, this shocked me in a really good way. A Saudi podcast has beaten Joe Rogan and Elon Musk's interview episode globally. And it now has the most watched episode with 100 million views. And I'm not surprised about why it broke Joe Rogan's record. But let me tell you, let me give you guys a little bit of detail. It's a Saudi podcast. It's called Finjan, which means a small Arabic cup of coffee. As I mentioned, it has 100 million views. Joe Rogan and Elon Musk's episode had 69 million views. over 5 years. This one, the episode from Finjan, how exciting is this? It talks about, it has the relationship and communication skills trainer, Yasir Al-Hazimi. It was a 3-hour conversation, Richard, and it delved into themes of human connection, navigating balance in life, and understanding the difference between self-love and vanity. 74% of the viewers tuned in from outside of Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, it's incredible.
How incredible is that? And why? Because not a lot of people talk about these topics in the Arab world in such a kind of, you know, unfiltered way.
Yeah, true. I've watched a bit of it. I haven't finished the 3 hours. So, like, the context around this is, like, YouTube is really big per capita in Saudi Arabia. But as you said, the people outside...
74% outside.
But it's subtitled. So, and it is, like, the first 20, 30 minutes are very around Islamic faith and things like that, which is amazing that people can digest this type of content in that way. And he's so articulate. And a lot of the commentary around this. So the founder of Tamania is the host.
Yeah, and this was produced by Tamania, by the way, Finjan, just to let people know.
Finjan, I think, originated under another guy years ago, Abdulaziz, who owns Mike's podcast company. I think it migrated across to Tamania, and SRMG then bought Tamania.
Right.
And Tamania are basically, it means 8 in Arabic, but Tamania are now the leaders of this style of documentary style podcast. More deeper content, and Finjan is their flagship show. So Finjan, I think, originated under someone else. But anyway, so Finjan is their flagship show. The founder of Tamania is the host. I get his name, Abdulrahman Al-Mahdi.
I will get you his name.
Yeah. So he's the host, and he's praised for his style. And it's a really nice listen. It's a very ambient listen. You obviously have to understand Saudi dialect, but you can read the...
Abdulrahman Abu Malih, okay.
Yeah, so he's a real pioneer. He's obviously the host. And, you know, Tamania are the leaders in this space. Like, everyone, they're the reference points. And he's the reference point of these podcasts. Like, he is not necessarily the Joe Rogan of the Arab world, but, like, this show is the flagship show.
Yeah.
And the numbers are staggering. You know, the episode launched a year ago. So it didn't get to 100 million in the last week, but now...
But faster, you know, double the amount, almost double than Joe Rogan and Elon Musk, which over 5 years garnered 69 million views, and this has, you know...
100 million a year. And I think it points to where we are in media today. It's on YouTube, but if you add up how many people listen to it on other channels, and Tamania are launching their own, they launched their own audio app. But it does show where we are today. Like, if we're thinking of, like, streaming services and numbers of views of of Shahid, like, if this was on Shahid have, like, 3-4 million subscribers.
Yeah.
So it just shows where we are with podcasts and creators, 3-hour interviews and YouTube.
Right.
Like, this is where media is, right? Like,
right, yeah.
You know, it's fascinating. If it was behind a paywall, would it have these numbers? Probably not.
Yeah. Yeah, true, agreed. But it also shows how much, because, you know, when we had, Basil from Rising Giants and Ramzi from Salt, I was asking them if they think the industry the space is saturated, you know, is there enough demand? They said, actually, yeah, there is a lot of demand. And this just shows to prove that there's demand for good content, they said.
Yeah. And the other beautiful thing about it is the 74%, as you said, outside the region, like, we don't know in what way the Arab world's content is going to be exported. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't know if it's a Gangnam style K-pop thing or... At the moment, there's some articles that, you know, Latin music is having a moment globally. Or, you know, last year we thought Dubai Bling was the thing that's exported. Or we thought that some of the Arab singers. And now it's a Saudi podcast. And you just don't know what... you think, oh, there's going to be a show in Egypt. Or there's going to be a show in Saudi Arabia that the whole world is going to watch. Like, what was that show that went big on Netflix in Korea? The killer one?
Right, the one with the doll or something like that.
Yeah, one of
the,
yeah.
I don't know. If horror things scare me. I'm actually afraid of the dark, so I'd rather not remember that. But yeah, I think everyone knows what you're talking about.
Yeah, so that's that type of thing. Like, so
Squid Games.
Squid Games, ugh, good memory. Yeah. So basically, like, you think that that's the thing that's going to pop, but actually, what's popped is an episode by Tamania.
Yeah.
On YouTube, so it's just interesting, right?
It's just like, luck, though, isn't it? You just never know when you're gonna hit the jackpot and you're just gonna go viral. Everyone who's ever went viral never thought that they were going to go viral because of that one thing.
Yeah, and exactly, the viral part of it I get, but I think the problem with the viral thing is, like, it's very fleeting. It's up once, but why I reference K-pop and Hunger Games or Gangnam Style is that it's a moment where culture is exported, so no one thought anything of that type of music, and YouTube were forced to add a new category for a genre of music. Like, 20 years ago, there was no genre of music for that.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean about, like, if the world sort of looks at Arabic content and culture through a different lens, then rather than viral, it becomes it changes the narrative, it changes the Islamophobia and other things going on in the world.
I think Islam and the Arab world are really having a moment right now. Everyone is talking about them. So from you know, Hollywood celebrities using Amrit Diab on their, you know, Instagram reels to, you know, even everything that's going on in Gaza, a lot of people in the Western world started converting to Islam. And I just feel there's a global shift, that it doesn't help if things are not going that well in the West. And you've got everyone from Elon Musk to Tucker Carlson, you know, praising Dubai. And, you know, there really is a shift, because I think that the Western world has kind of almost lost its way, that people are looking to go somewhere else and go back a little bit to traditional values a little bit, while balancing and having that, you know, strong words. I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. It just seems that way. Anyways, moving on to Egypt. Egypt is trying to convince Apple to set up a factory in the country. That's what Prime Minister Mustafa Madbouly announced during a visit to the Vivo smartphone factory in Egypt, basically. The government has not yet issued any statements regarding the progress made in convincing Apple, obviously the world's second largest company, to invest in Egypt. Do you think that's going to happen?
I love that mission.
Yeah.
And I hope something like that happens, because, you know,
someone commented, that's a joke, right? Because I was going to say, I don't think that's going to happen. I love Egypt, but they need to work on a couple of things first, right?
Even the Egyptians are self-satirical, because such is their humor. But no, but I love that mission. Like, you know, basically, like, you know, so isn't it ironic, Lubna, that the US is trying to ban China? Chinese app.
China, basically, really.
Yeah, but the iPhones are made in China. And then Apple, in the past 4 or 5 years, opened a factory in India. Mm. And I just, you know, because when we were looking at where we will do our development or whatever, we didn't do India or Pakistan. We decided we wanted to be in this region, so we picked Egypt. And I think, like, it's good that people look at Egypt, whether it's outsourcing, whether it's content, or whether it's manufacturing. And there are some things that Egypt is good industrial at historically. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously they've had issues with grain in the last few years, and some of their natural resources. But there's a large population. The currency is attractive for FDI and things like that. So I don't know if Apple's the right one. Like, it's the North Star has been the reference point, and he's making headlines. Mm. He's smart by saying this.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, you guys did that video last week, the ad, and I just think, like, Tim Cook's reign is going to end soon. And, you know, no company can stay on top forever.
Yeah.
And
what did you think of the ad, by the way?
Yeah, I mean, you know, someone DM'd me saying it was really good ads. I like this product, whatever. I thought the reaction to the ads was a turning point in Apple. Like, I've been kind of saying it for a while, that I don't think they're going to be as cool as they are now in 10 years' time. That Steve Jobs' halo effect is going to wear off. The operator and amazing CEO that Tim Cook was will diminish over time. You know, it happened to Microsoft. Microsoft recovered with Satya Nadella a lot through partnerships. Mm. But I don't think Apple, it's too competitive out there, Lubna. Like, if we look at electric vehicles. If we look at the manufacturers in China, and I think that's the wider point, like, A, can this region have its own manufacturing brands? Mm. Can it have its own car, our own phone? Or can it attract the new takeover of Apple, whether it's Apple or whether it's Huawei or whatever? But yeah, I think like Saudi have tried it. I think Egypt and any other ambitious country who's got a large population in the region with low costs of, I think, and if they can offer tax incentives. Like, how did the Irish economy grow post, 1990s onwards? It offered the lower tax, mm-hmm. corporate mm-hmm. tax rate of all of Europe and probably the world. So all these companies put 2,000-3,000 employees on 12% corporate tax increase since into yeah. Dublin. I think people trying to attract FDI, Dubai has done a really good job at foreign direct investment, UAE has, but I think Egypt and a prime minister like that coming out with things like that, a headline like that would make procurement and investment people around the world look up and go, ah, I didn't think of Egypt.
Right.
But right. they would need support. They would need security support. They would need government incentives mm. on top of taking their own risk.
You know, I don't know if I said the story on the show before, but I just want to go back to, because I feel like they're kind of interlinked. The Apple ad made me very sad because it was crushing all of those things that people feel not only nostalgic about, but that are people's whole careers, right? The saxophone, books, paint, everything to do with art. And, you know, those industries are already kind of suffering, trying to integrate with AI, trying to work with AI. And instead of showing some respect and some, you know, emotion towards those things, it was just crushing all those things. And for me, an ad is about how it makes you feel. And for me, it made me feel really, really sad. And I remember when I was in Egypt, like, you know, us joking about Apple's not going to go to Egypt is not because Egypt doesn't have the potential. Like, I've been to Egypt several times. I love going to Egypt because it makes me feel alive. You go to all these hotels, branded hotels, but you just feel like you've kind of stepped back in time in a good way. And, you know, there's someone playing the piano and, you know, the menu shows you what celebrities used to go there. And I remember speaking to a waiter there and he started tearing, saying, you know, I remember what Egypt was and I know what Egypt could be. And it just makes me very sad. So I don't know exactly how that's linked together.
The emotions. But look, people can critique the ad from an advertising point of view, and advertising execs, those ones, creative agencies, and those people paid a lot of money to make these things.
Yeah.
They can go on for ages about the ad. Some will say, it did its job, people are talking about it. Others will say, it missed the point because Apple forgot that they're not actually a technology company, they're right. creative, and they're trying to sell to creatives, and creatives got upset.
True.
But ultimately, the purpose of marketing is persuasion, and can that message across that this new iPad is going to be more powerful? And I think it does get that message across. Elon Musk, again, he got rid of any marketing department that he had, and I heard one executive from the media industry comment that, isn't it sad that there are no professionals telling the story of Tesla? Because Tesla's features are way better than all other cars. And the best storytellers in the world, the ones who built Apple, the ones who built Nike, because he's not putting marketing budget, aren't telling the story.
Exactly, exactly. I listened to this podcast, Business Wars. It's one of my favorites because the way the storytelling is done is just, it's just done really, really well. You really feel like you're in the story. And they were talking about Nike versus Adidas. Do you know where the slogan comes from? Just do it. It was actually a serial killer that went outside of a burning building, and all of the cop cars were surrounding him with all these guns. And he just said, you know, just do it. Just effing do it, and they all started shooting at him, and that's where they got the slogan for Nike. That's just do it. Isn't that insane though?
Yeah.
But you're right, where are those people to tell that story?
Yeah.
Elon Musk loves himself too much to keep someone
good
around.
What
I said, he loves himself too much to keep someone really, really good around, I feel.
Okay, yeah,
I don't know,
maybe,
right,
probably, yeah,
I get that. Anyways, anything else before we say goodbye for today?
I think we had one more. The HR startup in Saudi received funding.
We do, yes. Okay, let's go for it. We'll do
you
one
to cut
last
off the time.
One. We're seeing a lot of startups doing stuff around HR. I'm just going to go through this real quickly. So a Saudi-based HR tech startup, Q Salary, has partnered with Itqan Capital, which is a Saudi-based investment company. They're launching together an $80 million income-generating fund. This is to finance salary advances and petty cash management services for clients. Good one, because I think, you know, these little small issues, these little, problems that a lot of companies have when it comes to HR, we're seeing so many of these startups like Bayzat, like Alfie, which went bust, but for other reasons. It's good to see that. What do you think? Would you kind of use some of the services by these HR startups, you think?
Yeah, look, I think it's software procurement. I think, look, SaaS industry is obviously taken off. Again, referencing something I read recently, but Mark Benioff, the CEO of Salesforce, is sort of credited with like pioneering this SaaS model. And everyone uses SaaS now, right? Like Google Gmail used to be free at the start. Now we pay $15 per person for the kind of Google Cloud per month. And so the SaaS model is there to stay. And I just... Lubna, when I was sort of starting off here in the business and everything, I was a bit annoyed that all the SaaS products we had to use, there was no providers in the region. So I kind of I welcome attempts in the region of creating SaaS products, whether it's HR or others. It's not really for me. I don't think I can run that type of a business. I don't think I can raise that amount of money and go through the burn rate and build in that way. Just operate differently. But so any effort to kind of streamline things, I think SaaS is a business model, but also it reference automation, it reference embracing technology, it reference doing things faster, whether it's fintech, whether it's HR, whether it's things like that. So see that there's funds and to see that there's things happening like that in Saudi, I'm all for it.
Yeah. No, same. It's available in Saudi Arabia and Egypt and plans to expand to the GCC as well through local and global partnerships. So I think we'll be seeing them around soon. But thank you guys for your time. Thank you, Richard, for your time. Please don't have another espresso.
Yeah, I won't. That's enough for
today. Three is enough. Is that how many espressos you have nowadays?
I just didn't sleep much, but yeah.
Okay, because of the Martin Garrix thing, or?
No, I was out for dinner last night and the alarm went off early, as usual. I forgot to change the alarm.
Yeah.
So I was just up at 5:30 with 5 hours sleep. So, and we have a busy week. We're going to the Qatar Economic Forum.
Yes, the Bloomberg one. Yeah. Yes, excited for that. It's okay, Richard. Live a little. Have an espresso. Go to a concert.
Not a fourth one, okay.
Not a fourth one. Thank you, guys. Thanks for listening. Watch us on smashy.tv or get us wherever you get your podcasts. And if you've got a story you want to tell, let us know and get in touch. See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.